Are you trying to get more leads into your funnel and your business, but not sure how? On today's episode, I'm going to talk about three different ways that you can fill your funnel with leads without paying for ads. So stay tuned. What change becomes possible when 100,000 people are impacted by your work? This question came to me one day, and I have been working to find the answer ever since. Hi, I'm Jess, and I help online course creators amplify their influence and create a movement with their message. And on this podcast, I am sharing the simple strategies and systems to help you impact more people with your programs so you can create quantum growth in your industry. You are listening to the Quantum Course Creator Podcast. Hey there, and welcome back to the Quantum Course Creator Podcast. Jess here, and today I am talking all about filling your funnel with leads. So what do I mean by that? When I say funnel, I mean your email list, your existing client pipeline, the people who you are currently working with in trying to get them from lead to client in your business. So this can be either through your automated sales system, this can just be through your email list, or this can be going into your next live launch, all of these people would qualify as being in your funnel necessarily. So you may be wondering, how do I get in front of more people? How do I get more people on my list? How do I grow my audience? How do I get more people to opt into my lead magnet? All of these are really great questions. And we oftentimes then think like, okay, I need to then pay for ads. And I am a big fan of Facebook ads. Do not get me wrong. This is not an anti-ad conversation. However, Facebook ads are really the most effective when you have a fully optimized conversion strategy on the back end of it. I am very reluctant to pay money for leads that I do not know without a shadow of a doubt that I can convert. And so if I do not have a conversion strategy on the back end, I'm very unlikely to pay for leads on the front end because I don't want to potentially spend money that I cannot recoup with a return on that ad spend. And maybe you're a little bit more fast and loose with your ad budget, but for me, I want to make sure that I have something in place that I know that those leads are going to have a higher chance of becoming clients before I pay to get them in my funnel. And so in this episode, I'm going to talk about three different ways to engage unpaid leads, the free leads, to really get them into your funnel and then hopefully converting from there, right? Having a well-converting funnel is a big piece of this, but filling that funnel with leads is also very important. So when I talk about funnel, there may be people on your existing email list who are not necessarily in your quote unquote funnel, right? These could be people who joined a lead magnet a while ago, or maybe went through a previous launch. They could just be getting your emails and auto archiving them and not really engaging with your list. And this happens, right? I am on many, many people's lists, but I don't consider myself in their funnel unless I am actively engaging with their content and I'm interested in potentially purchasing their program. And so being in the funnel is a more active phrase of getting people from being like on the sidelines to in the waiting room to join your offer. And so there's a few different ways that I like to engage my existing list in order to keep them in my funnel. And the way that I want to share with you is with something that I call legacy content. So I've talked about content before. I have a really great episode comparing content to starting a campfire that I will link below. But what I mean by legacy content is the kind of content that lives on the internet far longer than maybe even your business will. And here's a really cool, like, real life example of this in my life. So years and years and years and years and years ago, I had a blog. Literally back in 2012, which was 11 years ago now, I had a blog on the internet. And on that blog, now I'm like singing old McDonald. On that blog, I had a thing. Anywho, on that blog, I had a series of, what do they call it? Posts, I guess, where I created a meal plan for my readers. And it was called the No Plan Meal Plan. I worked with another blog writer to create this together. And we really leveraged it on Pinterest. If I go on Pinterest today, I can still find the No Plan Meal Plan that I created 11 years ago. And people are still actively pinning this meal plan from 11 years ago that does not even exist on my blog anymore because my blog has since been way shut down, like years and years ago shut down. But like it still lives on Pinterest. It still lives on the internet. And this is such an interesting concept when we stop thinking about the virality of our content and start thinking about the legacy of our content, because that content stays on the internet for a very, very long time. And so rather than putting so much of your energy into this quick fire content that lives for a minute, hoping to go viral, I propose that instead you think about this longer form, longer lasting legacy content that will live on past the moment after you create it. And that's what can happen when you create blog content, podcast content, or even YouTube videos. All three of these mediums are considered legacy content that will live on the internet and serve your business in the long term. The other really cool thing about this kind of content is that it creates search engine optimization, which can only improve yourself and your business, right? Getting optimized on a search engine like Google has not only brought me tens of thousands of dollars in sales, but it also has given my business longevity and credibility and different things. When people are searching, I come up, because when you create legacy content, it lives on the internet. It does not live on a social media platform like Instagram. It lives on your website. It is indexed by Google, and it uses that to then use the search engine terms and keywords to like put you in the list of all the things that people are searching. And so if you want to build SEO, I am not by any means an SEO expert, but having legacy content that lives on the internet and more of it is going to get you on the list, right? It's going to build SEO. And so using like those three things, I recommend having either a podcast, which is a weekly episode or a weekly piece of content that comes out and lives for a long time that you can then create show notes from, create blog posts from, and create even more content from it, and have that live on your website in the form of like show notes or a blog post, and create a blog from, or either from that or in addition to it, that will do the same thing. So a blog is a really interesting strategy when it comes to creating content. And a lot of people think that maybe blogging is dead. I don't believe that. Blogging is very much so still alive, especially because the functionality of blogging is still alive, which is SEO and educating your audience. And as a creator, your whole goal is to educate your audience. And sure, short form educational videos are like the preferred version of education right now. People are still reading blogs. People are still listening to podcasts. People are still watching YouTube videos because that longer form, deeper educational content is still a great way to engage your audience. And so if you have a podcast, but you're not blogging, I highly recommend taking the content from your podcast and turning it into a blog post on your website, and then linking to the podcast episode to kind of loop things around, right? You can loop your, or you can link your blog post to your podcast and link your podcast to your blog post so that everything kind of serves each other. And these are called redirect links, maybe, or like internal links, whatever. That's another really good thing for SEO, is keeping people on your website and clicking between the links of your posts to get to more posts that they may be interested in. And so legacy content in itself is a very important strategy for the long term of your business, because like I had mentioned, it lives on the internet for longer than 2 minutes. That's really the downside of focusing on this short form content, like with Instagram and TikTok. Sure, it's a great place to meet people, but it isn't necessarily the best place to build long-term lasting relationships. And so that's really where you want to use that to get them onto those longer form content platforms and really engage them in your legacy content to continue to build that relationship with them. The other amazing thing about legacy content is that while it lives on the internet forever, you can also use it to engage your existing audience into your funnel. So what I recommend is having some source of weekly content that you are creating every single week and using that as the basis of the email that you send out to your list to keep them engaged every single week. Not only will this be a more value-packed email rather than like a newsletter or like a, hey, this is what we're doing, but this email will deliver something that is highly valuable, that is targeted to what they're interested in, as well as reengaging re-engage them back into your funnel. So by having a legacy content strategy, an important piece of that is having a funnel entry point on your legacy content strategy. So when you have a YouTube video, if the topic is something that you have a lead magnet for, using that to get people from the YouTube video into your funnel using a freebie opt-in or a lead magnet. Same thing is true with a podcast or a blog. Having a directed lead magnet or opt-in that is going to take that traffic from that legacy piece of content and put them into your funnel. And so when you build this out, every single week, you're creating new legacy content, you're promoting it to your existing following and your existing list, and you're giving them an opportunity to opt back into your funnel and get back into that party, right? Because they're currently sitting on the sidelines, but you can kind of say like, hey, having a party over here, you should check it out. Then they can re-engage themselves with the party and get back into the funnel. So that is really the first piece of this, is creating that legacy content and strategically driving traffic back into your funnel using that legacy content that's going to live on the internet for a very, very long time. The second really amazing thing about creating legacy content is it becomes source content for all of your other content. So if you're like me and you're already sick of saying the word content, however many times you've said it in this episode, you're probably also sick of creating content because you've realized that there's nothing more infuriating than spending an abundance of time on a piece of content that totally flops because Instagram is mad at you because of the placement of the sun in the zodiac that day, right? You cannot predict the algorithm. And banking on an algorithm is a terrible business decision if that is your only strategy for getting people into your funnel. So rather than playing the Instagram algorithm lottery, I want you to create legacy content that's going to live on the internet for a very long time and serve your business in many ways, and then use that as source content for your short form content. This is one of my favorite things that we're doing in my business that has completely taken the pressure off from creating content and has made it something that's really kind of fun and enjoyable. And that is using my podcasts as source content. So at this exact moment, I am recording this podcast as a video. If you're listening to it on the podcast app, you probably don't know this, but right now I am literally sitting in front of a camera recording this as a video next to my microphone where I'm recording it as an audio. And I will then take that video and audio, my audio editor will turn the audio into a podcast, and my team will take the video and edit it into short form video. So we'll create 3 to 5 reels from this one podcast and then post those on Instagram and theoretically TikTok, though we're not currently doing that, to engage that content there. And so not only is this content super simple for me to create, I'm literally just recording the podcast, which I've been doing for 3 years anyway, but I'm doing so with some lipstick on, staring at a camera, so that then my team can take it and turn it into reels and then purpose that onto Instagram. We had then, like I said, could purpose that onto TikTok or even YouTube Shorts. Not currently doing that, but that is in the line of our strategy from this moving forward. And I now do not have to sit down and find time to create reels. It's amazing, you guys. And what else is really cool is because I am recording this podcast, we then transcribe this and turn it into a transcription, which then makes it easy for people who need accessibility to check out. And it makes it super simple to take that transcript and turn it into a blog post. Of course, I do recommend doing some editing and doing some formatting because you like talk and run on sentences, not the way that you would type. I know I do. I'm sure you've noticed. I've said the word content 76 times in this one episode, but that does not necessarily make the most engaging blog post, but it does create a really like usable source piece of content to create those blog posts from. Also, while you have that written content, it's not that far to go from this big ass transcript into Instagram captions and into quote posts and various like carousels and other cool things like that. It really is this well-rounded system when you take that legacy content and focus your energy on creating that legacy content and then repurposing that content into the shorter form content that's not going to live on the internet very long and also points people back to that legacy content where they get into the funnel and the whole cycle starts over again. So these are the two things that you're doing on your side of the business to really build out a content strategy that's going to serve your business and drive traffic into your funnel. First, having legacy content, creating either blogs, podcasts, or YouTube videos that drive traffic into your funnel. The second is leveraging that legacy content into smaller form content that you can then leverage on all of the social media platforms without doing any more work. Like I'm saying, literally my only obligation to my content strategy is talking into this camera and microphone right now. And I was doing that anyway. I have been doing that for years now. So this was not a big lift for me to go from something that I was already doing to hitting record before I do it, you know? And so that is kind of the back end strategy on the back side of it. But then to get more people into your funnel, you need to get in front of new people, right? And a lot of people are relying on the algorithm to do this. There was a big boom about a year ago where Reels were all the hots, but they are not anymore. Let's be honest. Reels have terrible reach. They are no longer a way to guarantee getting in front of new leads. So we are no longer relying on the algorithm to boost your business. It is like playing the lottery, just hoping to go viral, and it is not an effective strategy for a business person, right? It's maybe a fun strategy for a 12-year-old on TikTok to see their video go viral, but it is not an effective business strategy. So we are no longer relying on the viral gods to pick up your video and stick it in front of millions of people in order to grow your business. And so instead, we are going to continue to build our little content strategy over here and build our little legacy content empire. And then you're going to get visible in front of other people's audiences. And this is really where the honeypot is of potential clients. And this is something that I think so many people are underutilizing in their business. You serve a specific audience with a specific purpose. And your business should not answer every single question that that potential audience has. And other people's businesses may serve the same audience in a completely different capacity. And so the power is in finding the people who serve the same audience in a different way. So for example, I have a client who is a marriage coach. She helps people who have kids reconnect and rekindle their marriage after having children. Well, is she like, she has such a beautiful audience that she can leverage other people's people because parents are such a widely like served market that there are so many people serving them in so many different ways. So for example, I have a former client who is a parenting coach and she helps people parent their kids using her own system. Awesome. Not the same thing. Working on your marriage and parenting your kids, totally different things, but the same person, right? Because somebody who has kids and wants to learn how to parent them also probably has a spouse who they want to improve their relationship with, right? There's a way those kids were created. So there's a good chance that those two people serve the same person. So instead of trying to grow their lists independently and serve them differently, they could combine forces and share their list with each other in a very ethical way, not like literally swapping lists, but like by serving each other's audiences and leveraging each other's funnels and each other's social media platforms to then get each other's audiences into each other's lists. And this is a really effective way to cross-pollinate audiences on the internet because those people who are struggling with parenting their kids probably are looking for some help with their marriage too, right? I have kids. I'm married. I could use both of those things. And the people who are looking at getting help with their marriage probably also could use some help with their parenting. And so it is an act of service to both of those, to that audience for both areas to have both people connect with each other and share their audiences with each other. The other really cool thing about leveraging other people's people is that it creates this third-party validation, which is not the first time you've heard me talk about this, but when someone else says that you're amazing, people tend to think it's more true than when you say that you're amazing. I can tell you that I'm amazing, but if somebody else tells you that I'm amazing, you're going to trust them more than me, for some reason, but that's who we are as people. And so rather than relying on first party validation, you're having that third party validation where somebody else that you trust is saying, hey, I know that you trust me and this person is is the shit. You should definitely trust them too. So then leveraging that person's audience to get them into your funnel. So you can do this via podcast episodes. You can do this via live streams. You can do this on Instagram. You can do this through sharing resources through your email list. There are so many different ways to build these partnerships. But the important thing is finding the people who serve your audience, but do so in a different way and forming relationships with them and really building that connection with them and that trust so that they know that you know what you're talking about and you know that they know what they're talking about and you can collaborate and really get in front of each other's audiences. So this collaboration is something that I'm talking more and more about that I feel so passionately about. And it's actually something that we're doing inside of my community, which is called The Coffee Shop. I opened up a community through my personal community platform on Kajabi, where I am periodically sharing content and trainings and things like that. But also it's an opportunity to meet other people who are in this industry, who have other audiences who you can maybe connect with. And that's a big mission of mine too, big picture wise inside of the lab, is to help people really create these solidified offers and form partnerships with other people who are either in the lab or outside of the lab to cross-pollinate their audiences and really serve people in the biggest way possible. So that is the three-step process to getting more leads into your funnel without having to spend money on ads. So first, creating that legacy content. Two, using that legacy content to repurpose into smaller form content. And then three, leveraging other people's people to get in front of your ideal clients without having to do anything that difficult to do so. So that is today's episode. If you have any questions, let me know. I would love to answer them in that community and check out the links below to join us inside of that coffee shop community. And I will see you in our next episode.